we were talking over the break about how I was kind of saying to you that I'm not 100% sure who I am, exactly why I'm here, what my future's going to be, yada, yada, that kind of thing. Everybody gets that. And you said that it's actually a timing thing.
Well, you know, I believe you're 27.
Yeah.
You know, the 20s are a place of grabbing a hold of, I think you either grab yourself by the lapels if you're not sort of doing things and say, look, at some point in my 20s anyway, I said, you really have to stop screwing around with thinking that your problems are going to be solved by some girl or some adventure or something like that. So what is it that you want to do? I said this to myself. I was about 26. I said, kid, what do you want to do with your life? This is your life. It's not anybody else's. And I went back to school and I worked really hard. And I did it sounds maybe the bravest thing in a way that I ever did was I studied the things that I really wanted to study. That means that I didn't study the things that I thought family would approve of. And that's a shocking thing to do. Some people never, ever break away from that. But I had to say, even if they decide that they hate me and don't speak to me anymore, I have to pursue this. I needed to study music, and I needed to study foreign language. And I spent 4 years doing it, and I loved it. And you said you're doing something that you're doing, and you love it. You're not exactly sure where it will take you. It's exactly the way I felt. I'm a decent musician, but there, you know, I mean, I would see the kids come in, the young kids who'd been sort of playing since they were in utero, and, you know, they could just vroom, vroom, vroom all over. And I have a good head for theory, and I can play some improvisatorial jazz, and look, I'm not bad, but I knew that I wouldn't be Bill Evans. You know, the great Dave Brubeck, Bill Evans, the guys that I really admired in piano, I thought, I'm not hitting that level. And I had to decide not to give it up, but to ask myself, and it actually came through a healing crisis. I got really, really sick, and I had to look at a lot of different things in my life. And it all happened between 30 and 31. And there's this period from about 27 to 30, 29 to 31 or so, that the old astrologers will call the Saturn return. And the planet Saturn is a very, very large gassy planet. We didn't even get to. Maybe we'll have maybe have me back on. We'll talk about the electric universe. Blow your mind. You'll love it. But the gassy planets are actually low voltage stars. They're just not receiving a lot of current from the galaxy, so they don't glow. But the Saturn takes about 29 years to get around. And Saturn is the planet that in astrology, in Western astrology, carries the burden of paternal, judgmental, sort of grandfatherly judgment. This is what you must do. It's all the thou shalts, all the things that you ever, thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. And you have to break away from all the thou shalts in your life.
I think you can't break away from one of them, though. One of them is very important. Thou shalt not take thyself too seriously.
You might have to break away from that just to get back to it. I don't know. But you break away from all of these thou shalts and you face them. I don't know. Everybody's path is a little different. But I had to face the thou shalts from my family where you must study the this and the science and then these things and also, and you must not defy parental authority and all these other crazy things. And then you come through this period and it's this traumatic. Yeah, where am I headed? What am I doing? And you keep doing the thing. You keep listening. And if you hold fast to the things that really, really speak to you, And you might even have to make apologies to people who thought that you were supposed to go here or there. You might have to say, I didn't, I'm not doing this despite you. I absolutely feel that I have to go this way, and I'm sorry if it upsets you. And they call this the Saturn return. And it's the point where all of these thou shalts come back into your life, and they bop you over the head, and you face them again, and you go, who am I going to be? Am I going to comply with all the thou shalts, or am I going to... You know, are there some of them that make sense to me? Some of them might make sense to me. Just the one you said might make sense to you. But then you may encounter others and you have to go, I actually have to reject this, not out of spite. And I came through that and I moved from language studies, which I was very good. Believe me, I loved language. I could have taught Latin languages, Romance languages, and I could have and traveled Europe and it would have been a great joy. But I'm a conspiracy guy, you know, and that was sort of underneath my skin. And I needed to give that a chance. And I wasn't even, you wouldn't have known that about me at 27. you might have known it about me more than I knew it about myself because I had put it away. Then by 30, 31, I'm like, I got to start talking about all these questions that I have. And I had to. So you're in that phase, that turnaround. And at 31, I mean, you are in an interesting position because at 27, you have this very big, well-known product that is you, that is the stuff that you do. And you can turn around and you could become a filmmaker. And you could turn around and become a novelist. You could turn, I mean, who knows? You could become a news, you could defy everybody's expectations, get a job in the mainstream media, and secretly seek to sabotage it in every single way. Who knows?
Well, the thing is, I don't need to be part of the mainstream media in order to sabotage it.
Yes, for the people who aren't watching, he just gave me a good eyebrow raise. You're right, you don't. I'm just saying, it's impressive what you've done at 27. You know, at 27, I was sort of pulling myself together from the wreckage of a relationship that had gone on for too long, and I was pulling myself back into school, and I was taking the work very seriously. Like I said, I really said to myself, kid, not screwing around time anymore. I felt a pressure on my back to get started, and it was a good thing that I did, because, you know, by 32, I was a journalist, and I was writing long, long, heavily detailed, serious articles, so I don't know. I don't know what that's good for, except telling people to stay true to those things that speak to you consistently. And I don't mean the fear-based things. I don't mean like, oh, mom will be upset if I do this. That's the thing that you have to go, you know what? I will upset people in my life. The question is, what does my spirit want? You know, tells you.
In fact, we had a conversation with one of the listeners on the Skype chat one day. And I used the word truther, and she didn't like the word truther because she interpreted it as something bad, something COINTELPRO, etc. And telling me not to talk about other things and certain things. And I said to her, look, I'm not going to stop talking about things before you've told me what they are, okay? I'm not going to self-censor myself when I don't know what I should censor and what I shouldn't. I'm just going to say whatever is feel is the truth and real for me. And if somebody does get offended, then I'll say sorry and stop talking about it around them.
I like that point. And the funny thing is, you know, if you come out and you question like HIV tests because the medical literature tells you to, the mainstream will call you a science denialist or an AIDS denier. You're not anything of the sort, but just by pointing the finger and yelling at you that way, they convince amateurs, you know, onlookers, to not get involved. Now, they've chosen people who want to tell the truth, and this relates to 9/11, which was an intelligence operation, clearly, definitively an intelligence operation that got the entire U.S. air grid to stand down, the most armed, rabid military in the world, to just ignore everything that was going on. Please. They were manipulated. They were pawns. They had proxies inside the government. It was an intelligence operation. So to call people who know this and talk about it, to call them truthers as a pejorative, what you think? Take it to its logical conclusion. The opposite of that is to call somebody a liar. So the opposite of a truther is a liar. The mainstream is saying, don't be a truther, but they don't finish their sentence. Be a liar? That's what they want you to be.
Be a slave. It's great fun.
Right. Now, we won't finish, and we're going to run out of time, I guess. And I'm happy to stay and answer questions from the audience. I'm actually thrilled to. But the end of the Darwin thing was that life doesn't happen by accident. Nobody can tell you the beginning or end of life. Big Bang Theory, by the way, was invented by a priest called George Lemaître. A priest. I'll say it again. Big Bang Theory is not a testable science. It's an imaginative nonsense invented by a priest who aligned it with biblical Genesis. As far as we can tell, the universe has no beginning, no end, and life is an intelligent process. It's reciprocal. We'll never really understand it, but it's certainly not a big dumb accident.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. You're either a conspiracy theorist who believes that there are powerful forces that actually use their power to maintain their power, or you're a coincidence theorist who thinks everything happens by accident. And there's no relationships, there's no backroom deals, there's no nothing. Which of those two groups of people sounds really insane? The people who think that there are connections, that there is such a thing as power, or the people think that there's no such thing at all? Those people sound freaking nuts, don't they? They sound like they're in full denial of reality. And this is what I've been talking about for a long time, Liam, is that when you're walking around the street and you see people that are looking down, who aren't doing anything, and then you see a homeless guy with a sign saying the end is nigh, he's not the one who's out of his freaking mind crazy. It's actually the person who thinks that there's nothing going on is just going to their job.
Everybody's a little version of delusional in this world. Everybody's got a touch.
Yeah, like Freemasonry. It's just a matter of degrees.